Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, we welcome you, everybody, back to this morning. Today we're going to be talking about keys to family harmony. You can turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. We are starting a new series entitled Family Matters. As we mentioned earlier, one of our values at Radiant Springs Church is raising up healthy families. Today we're going to look at keys to family harmony. Next week we'll look at healthy boundaries that protect our marriages and our Christian witness. So we're going to zero in on that next week. The third week of February, we're going to look at financial principles that benefit the family and just our individual lives. The last week, we're going to look at the purpose-driven life. Until we understand why, any cost is too great. So once we understand our purpose in life, why we are here, or why we are doing something, before that, the sacrifice is too great. But once we understand those things, our purpose, or the purpose of things, then we're willing to make sacrifice and to go all out. So today I want us to look at Colossians chapter 3, so to discover some of the principles that lead to family harmony. Just as there are rules, regulations, and teamwork in the game of football, so we need guidelines, roles, and cooperation to make the family work. So let's look at this together. Before we do, let's look at, bow our heads in prayer, and then go to verse 12. Father, we just thank you for this day. Pray that you take your word, make it come alive to us today. It is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray that you would just speak to our hearts today as we discover your word together. We ask it in your name. Amen. So let's begin with verse 12 of chapter 3 of Colossians through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if you have any grievances against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ among you richly dwell, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So as Christians, Paul is talking to the believers in Colossae, and he's talking about Christian virtues and characteristics that are essential in our Christian lives. And this morning I want us to look at how do those characteristics play out in the home. Everybody in the home has an equal value before God, but we all have different roles within the home. And so to help us understand these principles and apply them to the family, we have our RSC team that is going to help us out today. And so Gina is going to begin, first of all, by talking to us from verse 18 and how wives can honor with love. So Gina, here you go.
And children in the household. And if we call ourselves Christ followers, we have to focus on that. We have to uphold the integrity of the Bible. We can't conform to the society around us and do what we think that they say. Husbands and wives should work together in the Holy Spirit so the marriage is a reflection of the church. Now that I've gone through this in about 4 minutes, now we know everything about this and all marriages will be perfect, right? Yeah. Living a biblical marriage, it's a process. It takes time and it's hard. So I'm not trying, I am not up here to say that our marriage is perfect, and because I'm trying to figure out what it takes in my role to be a good submissive wife as well. So just know that some of us may leave here, we may start arguing, possibly. Just what we need to do is to reflect back on those verses that Pastor Brent just read, verses 12 through 17. And actually, I think these would be great verses for all of us to memorize throughout the week. Think about when it talks about God is telling us to clothe ourselves with compassion, with kindness, with patience. Those are all things we need to be reminded of constantly. And whenever we do these things, it talks about God's peace, getting the peace or receiving the peace from Christ. So when those maybe arguments, for example, may come up, let God be the peace that maybe helps you bite your tongue or maybe helps you hold back some things that you want to say but shouldn't say, because that's really what love is and that's what being submissive is, right? So in verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So just remember that. Honor God with love, okay? Now next, Jay is going to talk about the role of the husband, and I'll give it over to you.
All right. Good morning. She's already covered that, so it's already said. All right, so this morning I have the privilege of talking to the fellas in the house. Before I go any further, I'd like you all to just to think about what it is to do hard work. What takes hard work? Like in sports, physical training, it takes a lot of hard work. When I was a personal trainer, people would ask me, how do I get rid of my love handles? How do I get rid of that flabby thing at the bottom of my arm? I would say, I'll tell you, but you're not going to like it. It's hard work. So what I want the guys right now, I don't want to be mean to the women, but just bear with me. What I want you guys to think right now is imagine yourselves with me right now. We're in the locker room, shoulder to shoulder. And God is in front of us, giving us the game plan. And he says, and he makes it clear, that it hasn't been a very smooth season. We have won some games and we have lost some games. Today he looks at you and every one of us here and tells us to pick up our slack, to get our heads back in the game. We need to go back to the intensity we once showed, to go back before we made the team. He wants the kind of intensity back in our lives. He reminds us of how hard we work to make the team. So he says to you and he says to me, when you place that ringer, that ring on your finger, look at your wife and you looked at your wife straight in the eye and said to her, I do. You said, I will honor you. I will treat you with respect. I will love you through the tough times and the good times, through sickness and in health, till death do us part. You promised that you would be there all in, that you would do whatever it took to protect and cherish her, even if it meant giving up your life for her. You didn't only make that promise to her, you made that promise to her family and yours. But most importantly, you made that promise to me. But somewhere in the middle of the season, you have felt comfortable and started to just go through the motions instead of playing with heart and leaving it all out in the field. So I need you to go back to how you first started, when you worked so hard to make her happy, to impress her, to put her needs before yours. All right, guys, so here's the game plan God says to us. There are a couple plays inside of our book, the Bible. We're only going to use just a couple. So the first play that we're going to use is Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. The next play is a little different, it's a similar, different formation. Ephesians 5:25 through 32. This play will test you and it will challenge you, but I know you men can do it. So God begins to say, husbands, go all out in love for your wives, exactly as Christ loved the church and how he gave himself up for her. A love marked by giving, not getting. Christ loves, Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. With the radiant holiness, without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, that is how a husband ought to love his wife. No one abuses their own body, does he? No, he feeds it and pampers it. That's how Christ treats the church, since we are part of his body. This is why a man leaves their father and their mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her. So that is the game plan, guys. He is not asking us to be perfect husbands. He's just asking us to step up and to prove society wrong. That we do not live in a society where our men are said to be boys playing the role of leaders. We are the QBs, quarterbacks in our team. We must lead our wives in a reflection of Christ. That is a huge task, but we must fight the good fight. I can tell you this, I am far from perfect. I am not the perfect quarterback in my team. I do not have the most attractive QB routine. I'm not the most athletic, and I do not have all the mechanics down. So we must make sure that we make our example speak louder than words, because our children are watching us. They're listening. We need to be the example of the type of men our daughters will marry. Someone who will cherish them, love them, and treat them with respect. And for our sons, we must be the example of what it takes to be a husband, a true man of God. As we prepare to take the field, God reminds us one more time that he wants us to play with heart and to leave it all out in the field. Then he turns at an empty bench, but he doesn't have to say a word to us, guys, because we will not be benched. We cannot quit. We won't quit. We must keep trying. And when we stumble, we must shake ourselves off and get back on our feet. Every play, every down is crucial. So let's make every one of those count. So men, husbands, let's lead with example. Speak life into our wives. Help them grow spiritually in Christ. Lead them with respect and equality. Place their needs before ours, and never forget to lead with love. Thank you. Here you go, kid.
Thanks, Jay. All right, now we're on to the kid part, the most awesome part of the day. All right, so if you guys want to read this along with me, children, repeat after me, children. And everybody can do it, because if you are all once kids too, and you still are all children of God. So read it with me. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So I think this refers to kids literally, but I think it also speaks to us figuratively as children and sons and daughters of the living God. So just like Gina was talking about before, about submitting and being obedient with love, it also means to recognize your authority, to listen to them, and do what they've asked of you. And now, submitting, I'm not talking about like a wrestling or a WWE match where you're like trying to like break someone's arm or break someone's leg and submit them and have them tap out. No, I'm not talking like that kind of submission. I'm talking about submission is a heart motive. It's your attitude. So like when I was younger, my mom was like, Andrew, can you take out the trash? And I'm like, oh, mom, I don't want to take out the trash. Tell Reuben, my brother, to take it out. I don't want to do that. And my mom's like, take it out, Andrew. And she kept telling me, and she probably told me more than I needed to, but I had to change my heart attitude, because I finally realized, oh wait, if I don't take out the trash, it's going to stink in here, and I don't want to live in a stinky house. So I grab the trash, I take it out, and I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, Mom. I'll listen, and I'll take the trash. And still, sometimes she'd ask me more than once. But submitting is just a change in heart. It's the heart that's like, oh, from to, okay, I'll do it. Now I understand you, and I'm going to do it. But obedience is hearing what was asked of you and then doing it, actually doing it. So in order for us to obey and submit with love, and that's actually my point, obey and submit with love. If you are kids and people are taking notes, obey and submit with love is my point. In order to do those things, we must choose to have a good attitude. That's the submission part. And while hearing and doing what was asked of you. So sometimes it's kind of hard because sometimes like you're asked to like do the like tedious job and you're like, here, go do this. And you're like, oh, sorry, I have to do that. Like that guy is lazy. He's not even doing anything. Like, can you have that guy do that? No, sometimes you just have to allow God to change your heart. And even as a kid, I know that I just had to have my parents just help me understand why I was doing what I was doing. Just like Brent said in the beginning, if we understand the why, that'll help us out. But just to give you a visual of a coach and a player. So a coach gives instructions. He's like, okay, here's the play. And he calls the play, and then he tells the offense coordinator, and he tells them. And then the player goes, and he's like, okay, I'm going to go do this. And the quarterback calls the play, and he's like, he's listening to his coach, and he's like doing what he says. But then the player hears it. He communicates it to the team, her siblings, and they follow it. But then even if the player completes it or messes up, the thing that player needs, or the child, or even us as a child or son or daughter of God, something we need, and I know this because I can relate to this in my own life, is just the coach to believe in you. Even when you fall down, hey, get back up, son. Hey, get back up, daughter. You can do it. I believe in you. I believe in you so much. I'm going to help you through this. And Brent will touch on that a little bit more when we go to the father position. But I know that as a kid, in order for children to obey your parents and everything, we just need somebody to believe in us, somebody to believe in us, but then coach us and support us through it. That's why I experienced in my own life. But growing up as a kid, I have a question for the kids in the room, but then also the adults. How many had a hard time submitting and obeying to your parents? I'll be real honest. That was me. I was probably the crazy rebel kid that would try to book it out of a church when I was 5 years old. So, yep, that was me. And I did that for a reason. And so growing up for me, it was really hard because my dad would just always tell me what to do. He would give me a list of rules. He's like, here, this is what you got to do. Do this. But there was like no relationship like that coach that I was telling you about. There was like, it was kind of lacking. Like he didn't believe in me. At least he didn't verbalize that. So I just was lacking in that area. He would give me these list of rules, which were good, but I just was lacking in just the relational side. And the first thought that I battled with was like, okay, I'm going to do this, Dad. I'm going to try to do this for you, and is this good enough for you, Dad? Is this good? I did my best. And then he's like, no, you can get an A. You can do better than that. And there would be no emotion and just no relationship with it. So I began to question myself. I was like, am I even good enough to you anymore, Dad? Because you just keep getting angry and frustrated with me because I'm not, like anything I do, or and maybe just me, I'm just not good enough to you. So what I was feeling was, do you even love me, or are you mad at me even if I don't do what's asked of me, or even if I don't follow up to your expectations? And like I said, what I needed at that time was someone to believe in me and to train me in doing the right thing, just like a coach would. To be like, it's okay, son, you messed up. You got to be okay. I will help you through it. But I believe in you, and I'm going to help you get through this. And that's what I needed, and that's what I'm here to tell you kids that maybe don't have that father figure, and even those who have never heard that before that have believed the same lie that I believed growing up, that whether you choose to do the right thing today, and I believe in each of our hearts that we want to do the right thing, but sometimes we mess up, and even if you do mess up, just know that your Father in heaven will always love you no matter what. And it says that in Romans 8, that nothing will ever separate you from his love. So it's your choice today just to receive that love, to receive his love that will never separate you from your past, from your pain, from your mess ups, from anything that's on your mind that says, oh, I'm not good enough. God says you're good enough. He loves you. He made you. And I'm here to tell you that today. And so in order for us to obey and submit with love, we must choose to have a good attitude while hearing and doing what was asked of us. But I wanted to tackle that mindset first, knowing that we're loved, knowing that we don't have to do anything to gain that love, but we do want to make our daddy happy. I know I wanted to make my dad happy. And the way that we can do that is like Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So as a kid, either as a son or daughter of the living God, or even as a literal kid, you can be like Jesus and be like a representative for him, giving thanks to him by obeying your parents and everything that they ask you. Now, I'm not talking about sin. Now, I'm not talking about, like, if they tell you to steal something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that are in alignment with God's word and in his will. So, like I said, a way you can represent Jesus and give thanks to our Father in heaven is to obey and submit with love to your authority, but then you must allow God to help you to choose a good attitude while hearing and doing what's asked of you. Because I know sometimes, for me, sometimes my heart was just not in it. Like I would want to be obedient, but my heart just wasn't in it. And I just had to allow God to minister some love to me. But yeah, with that being said, Pastor Brent, our father figure, is going to come up. He's an awesome spiritual figure to me, spiritual father figure, and a spiritual parent as well. So he's going to come up and tackle that.
Yeah, Andy. All right. Wives, honor with love. Husbands, lead with love. Children and youth, obey and submit with love. And now, fathers, we're going to talk about coaching with love. Verse 21 says, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Can we be honest? When we discipline as fathers, how many times do we discipline out of anger or out of love? Right? It is easy in the heat of the moment when things happen to discipline out of which? Anger, isn't it? Instead of love. And when we do that, not only do we address the behavior that probably needs to be corrected, but we also leave scars on our children's identity and who they are, because it goes to the heart of who they are instead of just dealing with their behavior. And my boys had three of them, and you know, so they needed some discipline. And they never minded correction or discipline, even some tough discipline. They never minded that. What they would be frustrated or angry at was when I disciplined out of anger and I went overboard, went too far. I overreacted. It was then that it would really bother them. And I'd have to sometimes go back and say, you know what, I overreacted. And I would, confess that to them. Discipline out of anger, it will leave scars on a child's identity that they will carry into adulthood. And that's why I think Scripture, and Paul says here, do not embitter your children. Don't make them frustrated. Don't discipline, but discipline out of love and with firmness, so that you address the behavior. So there's a few things. As fathers, we have authority and power over our children, all right? We can either use that to build them up and to strengthen them, or we can use that to frustrate them and to harm them. So fathers are like a good coach. How are they like that? Well, first of all, they focus on the behavior that needs to be fixed, right? So they address that. And we've all been at a basketball game or a football game, and some coaches are exceptional, right? And then there's other coaches that are out there that are just ranting, they're raving, embarrassing the players, right? And think about that as a father. Which one are you? Are you the one that's out there building up, helping correct behavior, but also bringing out the best? We must discipline and correct out of that love and gentleness. We can be a good coach, we can be a good father when we lead with love. Secondly, we need to instruct them and lead them. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. One of the things I hated about those Germans, you know, grew up in a German, you know, just German heritage there. And what I sometimes hated about that was that the instruction wasn't there. You were supposed to pick up somehow by telepathy or something like that you were supposed to do this certain thing. And that frustrated me, because you were supposed to understand that this needed to be done, you know. And then, and you all know my dad. And there's been some good things, some good healing and stuff. He did the best that he could based upon the childhood that he had. But I know from experience that some of the things that are done out of anger can carry into adulthood, okay? And some of you can identify with that. train and instruct them, help them understand, teach them. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old or she is old, they will not depart from him. So instruct them and lead them. Third, as a coach, identify their strengths and inspire them and encourage them. So Andy talked about that. Help them to understand what is there. I think as a coach, one of the things is you're the mature person. You can see potential in your children. Identify what that is, whether it's their personality, their gifts, and bring that richness to the surface. Bring that strength to the surface by investing in them, by giving them confidence, by helping to identify those things. But bring those qualities to the surface so that they shine, they excel, and they go forth in confidence. Amen? I like the movie The Blind Side. How many have seen the movie Blind Side, right? Right, they take in this, their white family takes in a black kid, right? A lot of dysfunction, didn't have a home and a family, but they bring him in. And they just gave him confidence. They gave him a safe place. They invested in him. And you know what? He goes on to not only excel in school, to do better in school, but then he gets offers to go to college, and then he gets to play in the NFL, all because somebody brought him in and invested him, made them part of their family. That is what coaching is all about. I'm going to have my wife come and help me out. And Raphael, we need to make sure we have the piano on. Maybe give her a little extra volume there. We've been talking about keys to harmony at home, right? Honor with love, lead with love, submit and obey with love, coach with love. Not everybody has the same role, do they? So she's going to play one note. So in the home situation, we don't all have the same role. We're not all just moms, wives. We're not all just husbands. We're not all just children. You have all the different roles. And so instead of sounding like one note, it's going to sound like what? Give me the chord. Ah, see, that's what it's supposed to sound like. You have the different notes. Harmony, right? That is God's plan for the family. Now, which sounds better? The chord or the single note? Chord. The harmony, huh? See, that's God's plan. But you know what? A lot of homes and families sound like what? What do they sound like? Different roles, but they're not sounding like they're harmonizing, right? Right? But see, when we honor with love, we lead with love, we submit with love, and we coach with love, and everybody stays in their lane. You ever heard of that? You stay in your little lane. You stay in your role. Then guess what? You have harmony, right? We're all equal before God, folks. Children, moms, dads, husbands, and wives. We're all equal before Him. But He has given different roles, and He's given us guidelines so that the home sounds like a harmony, a symphony. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? As we close today, I'm just going to say a prayer, and then I'm going to dismiss you into family. I'm going to have your families huddle together, okay? You're going to have a holy huddle this morning, and there's some people here that don't have their whole family here, okay? So Andy's going to probably adopt some kids this morning, okay? All right? And if you see somebody that is single or you're just here by yourself, maybe you want to form your own group or at a table, but maybe adopt somebody in. But I want you to find a huddle this morning, and I want you to pray. Maybe there's some things that need to happen. Maybe as a husband or father or child, maybe you need to say, you know what, I haven't done what Scripture says. Will you forgive me? So if you need to do that, do that. And then would you pray together as a family this morning? And just invite God's presence. We're going to put some music on, and we're going to do that. So let's just pray, and then I'm going to dismiss you. Father, this morning, we thank You for Your word that is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It not only is just helps us learn about You, but Lord, it also shows us how to live, and how to live at the bare level, at the ground level of just the family. And Lord, every family is just human. We fail, we make mistakes, we lose our tempers, we mess up. But Father, You've given us guidelines so that we can have gentleness, hope, peace, patience, kindness. and love, which binds them all together. And Lord, I just pray that those things are evident in our homes, because I believe not only will it bless our home and our family, but I believe it'll be a wonderful symphony to the people that we come in contact with, because people are not, they're watching our lives and they're watching our families. And I believe that people are desperate for things that are real and genuine. And they're going to say, I want that in my home and my family. And so Lord, I pray that you would help us. We need your Holy Spirit to help us here this morning. We give you the thanks, the praise, your name we ask. Amen. We've had people come into our home and our family that our kids have invited over, and that sometimes they don't want to leave. We don't have a perfect family, I can guarantee that. But I believe that people are searching for that. Amen. So I want you to go into your huddles, and two or more, take some time to pray. They're going to put on some music. And just some very worshipful prayer music, and find your huddles, and then I'll give a dismissal in a couple minutes. All right.